going to get some fucking sushi tonight, and then we're going to a gay bar. All the gay things, fish and then fish.
Welcome to Yappin' Strap. My name is Alaire Thomas. This is England.
Hey, guys.
Today's episode, we're basically going to be talking about masculinity and also, I think, the stereotypes and perception that masculinity comes with of how you should be presenting as a person, especially when it comes to emotionalness, emotional intelligence.
Mask right? On the streets, femme in the fields.
Fields? Mask on the streets, femme in the sheets is what it should be called.
I'm not a femme in the sheets. You should speak for yourself on that one there, buddy.
Okay, hold on. Well, I think just for the funniness of the podcast.
Yeah, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure, for sure.
How you doing, dude?
I'm good.
Because this hoodie action makes you look like you're not doing.
Should I take it off? You don't like it?
No, I like it. I
feel cute.
No, I like the hoodie. I think take the hoodie down.
Oh,
be present.
I am present with you.
That's better. I want to see all of it.
You know where this hoodie's from?
Your girlfriend.
No, this is my hoodie.
Where's it from?
This hoodie's from Entire Studios, and I love your guys' clothes and your hoodies, and they're so good.
I guess then let's talk about the fit. Where's your pants from?
Entire Studios.
That's not your pants.
No, I'm going through the whole fit, you fuck. Entire Studios, Jaded London.
I'm not surprised.
Puma
the
Fenty.
The Fenty and Puma collab is sick.
Puma okay. Fenty collab.
Speaking of Puma, I got a Puma windbreaker on. I got Levi's pants. No, shorts for shoes. These are just like Lacoste. They kind of look like a Nike Air Force One.
I thought they were a collab. They're Lacoste.
No, these are Lacoste. They're fairly comfortable. They were gifted, so of course.
Throw that out there. All right. We're going to do a yap and a strap of the day. For those of you that don't know, the yap is something that you want to get off your chest. You're not feeling it. Get it out of there. And your strap is something that you want to hold close to you because you want to strap it because it feels good and you love it and you like it and you need it. So what's your yap, buddy?
My yap, men's nipples.
Ew. Why exactly. Why did you have to put that in my fucking head?
And that's why it's a yap. I don't really think I need to explain myself. I just don't think they should be allowed out in public.
Yeah, I mean, I actually really
I think
agree.
Men should have to wear nipple covers or bras.
I think girls should allow titties out and men.
Yes.
Keep your shirts on.
Women, titties out, consensually, of course. Well, obviously, if they're out, then they are consensually. I think men's nipples, no. I don't think men need nipples. I don't think men deserve nipples.
It's like Ken doll.
Yeah.
Does Ken have nipples?
I don't think so. I never remember the doll having nipples.
You know what I loved about Ken, the doll? He didn't have a dick.
Or nipples. The perfect man.
The perfect man.
That's so crazy. My strap is, it's Pride Month. Gay rights!
Go Pride! You're gay, you're gay, you're gay. You're so gay.
You're definitely gay. It's Pride Month, and especially with everything going on in 2025.
Especially because of that fucking Cheeto.
Pride Month feels a little bit like a breath of fresh air. It's still obviously hard, but I like just seeing the beauty that comes from the community and the people that are still representing it, and there are still companies that are backing it and representing it, even with, you know, DEI being in remission. I don't know if remission is the word that I was looking for, but I'm gonna stick with it.
You said big words, so my brain said la-da-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee.
You said bottle flip. What's your yap and what's your strap?
My yap is slow walkers. I was walking here today,
especially in New York.
I'm like, listen, I am not even from here, and I'm acting more from here than you are. Why the fuck are you walking
so
damn slow?
You need to move to the right. Like, there's certain things. Like, if you are walking slow,
I don't care if you move to the
especially
right.
Especially if they
you
walk
move
in
to
the middle. If they walk in the middle of the street, and they're, I don't know what this is like now. Aggravated
yeah, apparently
me.
It's not my yap anymore.
Our yap.
I don't care what way you move, as long as you move out of my
way. I care
way.
What way you move.
Like, just fucking like move. God, it was tough.
What's your strap?
My strap is that we're going to get some fucking sushi tonight, and then we're going to a gay bar. All the gay things, fish and then fish.
Did you like it? Did you like it? I was like, oh.
Yeah, I knew you were gonna.
Before we get into the topic, I think my favorite thing that's been on the subway is that there will be signs that say "Stop the spread."
Of
and
what?
So, no, like the man spread. So it's literally it'll be a picture of this, and then it goes to that. Whoever came up with that is genius. I also love it.
Anyway, I would love to get into it. So I know you already explained what this episode is going to be about, but to jump into that more, I'd love to talk about why emotional softness is still seen as a contradiction to masculinity, especially within the queer community, and why you feel that is the way that it is in this community that's supposed to be all about like safe spaces.
Well, it's actually so ironic, especially as two masculine presenting people. I still think there is this expectation that because we are masculine, you are supposed to have that masculine rigidness within your emotion. I'm throwing all the big words out today.
What does rigidness mean?
Rigid.
Oh,
and
you
I added
didn't say rigid. You said rigidness.
Isn't rigidness a word? Now I'm saying it more and it doesn't sound
hey,
right.
Hey Siri, is rigidness a word?
Yeah.
I think it's rigidness. So that's where...
It's the way I was like, I'm throwing out big words and it was the wrong big word.
Yeah, rigidness is a word.
I'm going to go with rigidness. Well, in society in general, people who are presenting masculine, there is this idea that they are supposed to be withheld their emotion. I think that's a common societal thingamajigger that I can't think of.
Patriarchy, baby.
But it's still within the queer community, especially if you're a masculine person. And I mean, I think that's the exact answer. Why is emotional softness still seen as a contradiction to masculinity? It's because of societal ties. It's because of the stereotypes that have been placed within society that bleed into other factors. It's kind of like heterosexual norms. Because they're a thing in our life that we are so used to, it still is portrayed in many different aspects. And I think that's the same thing with masculinity. I think just because you are a masculine presenting person for some reason, there is this idea that you can't be soft, which is anything but the truth. And I would really love if you jumped in here to save me at any point in time, because I'm going to be honest with you, I'm losing
stamina because of the rigidness. Sorry, I'm going to just keep doing it. A couple things. I think that being emotional as a mask presenting queer, it's definitely often withheld within queer spaces, but I do think it is partially because the queer community has boxes on everything.
Okay.
Even though it's supposed to be a safe space. And I think that a lot of it is that we do it to ourselves. All the time on TikTok, I see these masks exuding like a very strong
fuckboy energy.
Male-esque. Yeah, it's like fuckboy and just like, dude. I kind of always am like, you're the babiest of them all when you're in a relationship when I see that shit. And that shouldn't be something that we feel scared to show. I think people also see when you present as masculine, you're showing like a less of a weakness.
Yeah.
But then that's also saying that being emotional is a weakness, and I think it's the complete opposite. When you're emotional, it's a strength, it's a vulnerability to even be emotional.
Well, but that also just ties into something that we just were not taught. That's not something you're taught regularly unless you actively are seeking that truth. That's a hard thing to learn, but it's 100%
yes,
true.
It is.
Emotional availability and also vulnerability, it's more so celebrated now, but it's still not like things that people are chanting about. So of course people aren't going to know about it because not everyone's talking about it. And it's not something that's
I think the hard favorite. Top, the like strong mask, I don't know what it is. Yeah. It's something that we also very much do to ourselves. And I think we need to pull back a little bit and understand why is it so much that we're saying that showing any emotion is seen as weakness.
Yeah.
And within the same breath, showing softness is seen as weakness. When we all know, let's be real, the masks in the relationships are the fucking babies here. Like, come on.
I mean, as you said, we kind of do it to ourselves because I think there's this connotation when you bring up like a mask lesbian of truly just being basically like no better than a frat boy in terms of mannerism. I mean, granted, if that's how you choose to portray yourself, then that's on you. But I think there's been this stereotype placed on us because of how people act. And that's actually how you say like, or how you were mentioning when we're actually the softest. That's why I love doing my skits where it's like POV, you're dating a mask lesbian, because I love just being that overly confident, masculine presenting, almost dude-like character of like, I never wash my face. I am so low maintenance. And then like the contradiction is me screaming and be like, I never did enough of it. I love those because for me, I love funny things that are rooted in hard truths. And I think it's kind of a hard truth that masculine presenting people, they do that. Men, women, child, they, thems.
I think there is a happy medium too. And I think we're slowly as a queer society getting there and finding that middle ground of it, because I do happen to do some things that are a little bit more mask. And I think that's a part of myself that I love, but I've also learned to find that feminine part of myself that I love, and being quote unquote soft and emotional took me a long time to find the strength in. And I think that's another part of it. Maybe it is just like some mask presenting individuals haven't found that yet, haven't gotten there. It does take a minute. I feel like on the flip side, I'm trying to think why we do it so much, especially the, what are they called on TikTok? The hey mamas.
Oh.
Yeah. Especially the hey mamas. I think you dive so deep into that because you, at least from my understanding, when I want to like really get into it.
Yeah.
Because you want to run away from that feminine person that you were so scared to be. Like you want to be like really hard, really, really strong, really mask. But it's like, then you're presenting in a way that's almost, like you said, a frat boy. A fuck like boy.
It's not great.
It's not.
I don't think gender should ever equate to how you are as an emotional, intelligent person. It happens to be that more masculine people aren't as emotionally available, but that's again because of what has been placed within society. Those boxes. As a whole, I think emotional intelligence should be able to be free for all. Why do you think we need more emotional range in queer spaces?
I mean, I think that we just do a really tough time on showing it in queer spaces. We also, in queer environments, put boxes on every person, which then makes them feel like they have to fit the mold. You know, I think we're just now finally getting to a place of saying that just because you're masculine, you don't have to be the strong one all the time. I know for myself, that took me a second to come to. For a moment in past relationships, I felt that because I was the more masculine presenting person, I actually did have to be the stronger individual. And I'm just now with someone who is okay with picking up those pieces when I'm not able to. You know what it comes down to, though? It comes down to the heteronormative norms.
Heteronormative norms?
So fuck off.
It's okay. I said rigidness.
Yeah. The heteronormative idea.
There you go, better word.
That is placed on us in the queer community still somehow follows it, which is so interesting. You have the mask presenting, the man, so to speak.
The man of the relationship.
And then you have the femme, the woman, and like, what are the guidelines that they need to follow?
I have to say, though, especially as a woman, I hate that because that femininity doesn't equate to being able to be the caretaker. I don't think that ever makes sense. That's how it is presented, but I don't think that's true. But also, as you were speaking,
no, I don't either, but that is how it's presented.
But I understand what you're saying. And I also, it brings up a good point, because I was just thinking about my two relationships. My previous relationship, I was the caretaker. You know, I paid for everything. I drove. She lived with me. I felt like I always made the decisions and had the responsibility. I still didn't wear the pants in the relationship, but I was
you still didn't?
Oh, no, never, not once. I wore the pants in relationships when I dated men, but never women.
It's always the, like, real girly pop that wears the pants.
Oh, absolutely. And then I was thinking about my relationship now, and I mean, it's such an equal relationship in how we both care and provide for one another.
Yeah.
I mean, I definitely think I still like being a bigger caretaker, and I like giving her whatever she needs, but I think that's just because of how I love, not even because of masculinity. Yeah. Which is why it's so funny, because I think masculinity is such a rabbit hole of things that you can talk about, because how people perceive it is like rough, tough, emotionless,
closed off,
but this like super like the rigidity.
I always want to do this when I
masculinity is rah, that's all it is. But in actuality, all it means is that it is a person who just happens to be masculine presenting. Even as a man, all you are is a person who happens to be masculine presenting.
Totally.
I think the ideas behind how that should pertain and equate to how you are as a person is fucking stupid.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think, you know, there needs to be more room for allowing people to feel their emotions, even if they are mask presenting.
Because we do. I just want to be a pretty princess.
Alaire says that. I don't personally feel that way, but I love when you say that.
You don't ever want to feel like a pretty princess?
I don't.
Well,
I don't.
What do you mean? Speak more on that.
You know what it is? I want to be taken care of at times. If that's what you mean by pretty princess, then yes.
I want to feel bonita. I want to feel like a pretty princess.
Bonita. Like, yes, then that's what it is. So when I first started being more mask androgynous presenting, I actually did really feel like I had to fit this mold. So I was super fuckboy. Not in the sense that I was just like running around. I mean, I was running around and just like having sex, whatnot. I was very honest about it, but, and I think that's the difference between a fuckboy and not. I was open about it. But I did feel like I had to fit a certain mold. Mm. Did you have that moment where you felt like when you cut your hair, you know, changed the way you looked, that you had to be this version of yourself that was explained within the queer community?
I think for me, it's this idea of taking charge. I don't think necessarily fuckboy is how I felt I needed to be, but I felt like I needed to be the one that made the move, that asked the person out, that paid for things, which that is just by choice, but basically had to take the steps as a masculine person. If I was just dating someone who was a lot more feminine than I was, in my head, it was like I had to be the decision maker of certain things. I was the pacer of the relationship. Not necessarily. I mean, it was however fast or slow either of us wanted to move. But again, like, I had always been the person who asked somebody to be my girlfriend. Same. I had always asked the person if they wanted to go on a date. My fiance now, she asked me to be her girlfriend. She flew, girl, you know our story, For those of you who don't know, basically, when my girlfriend and I, my fiance now, but at the time girlfriend, I lived in New York, she lived in London. She said she had to go to Milan for work. Going to Milan was actually coming to New York to surprise me, to ask me to be her girlfriend on a card. And that was the first time that anyone has ever done that. She also asked me out on our first date. It like threw me for a loop.
For sure.
Because I wasn't doing the asking, and taking that initiative, I felt like I was doing something wrong. There was parts of me that loved it and I was like, oh my God, like I've never been on the other end of it. This is what it feels like. Then after that, I was like, I have to say I love you first. I have to get something first because I'm that person, which is stupid. And I did end up saying I love you first, but
I don't think that's stupid, but.
Well, I mean, just the thought process, there's no race to say I love you of like who does it first. I think that was the part that's like stupid.
I get that. I didn't realize how much I wasn't getting that stuff previously because in my past relationship, I definitely was the one to handle things and manage most times like what we were doing to know how much something was going to be, asking to go on a date, asking her to be my girlfriend. I remember a lot of times she would be like, you haven't asked me on a date. Oof. I'm like, you haven't asked me on a date.
I know.
There's two of us. And my girlfriend now, I almost say like girlfriend now because I'm like, girlfriend, just stay forever girlfriend.
What's that trend right now? My current girlfriend.
God, if I did that to her, she'd be like, the fuck?
She would punch you.
Yeah, but I would love it. No, it was the cutest thing. When we were in Paris, I asked her to be my girlfriend. And then she asked me. I didn't expect it. And she said, I want to make you feel loved and appreciated and seen in that way. Maybe that is what it takes, is finding that person that also sees you as just a person.
Yeah.
Rather than being a box that needs to be filled.
Yeah.
As like, you present more masculine, so you're masculine.
The roles
that's what
in the relationship.
Yeah, we have taken away all of the roles. I mean, there are a lot of things that I was used to doing. I was used to being the one that made more money in the relationship, used to being the one that took charge in that sense.
Yeah.
That has flipped 180, and I've had to rewire my brain to be understanding of that's okay.
To being secure within that.
Yeah, being secure in that, and it's totally okay. And these molds and expectations of what we're supposed to be and how it's supposed to be seen and felt is actually just all fucking wrong.
Yeah.
We don't need to follow these heteronormative parts that are placed on individuals. We can be whatever we feel is right.
So how you said you both asked each other, that was my fiance and I. We proposed to each other. We had this open for discussion.
I knew before they both proposed, I knew when both of them were gonna do it. And I loved it. Did you know that she told us that night? Sorry, now this is exciting. When we went to sushi that night,
yeah,
five
I know.
Months ago.
I know she I had a sense.
That she told us that night?
Yeah.
How'd you have a sense?
I think I had a sense after, or I knew after, or something like that.
She told you?
I don't know. I had a sense. I think it was a hunch. I was playing off a hunch.
Whatever.
Any hoosier. No, so my fiance and I, we had the discussion of like, how does it, being that we're two women in a relationship, you know, who asks who? And is it both of us? Is it just one of us? Because also in my head, being the masculine person, I was like, well, if it's going to be one of us, it's going to be me.
Yeah.
Which is stupid. It could have been either of us. But we both did it to each other. And she actually proposed first.
Yeah, she did.
But that actually threw off a lot of people. A lot of people thought I was going to propose first, which also I thought I was going to as well, but it just didn't happen that way.
That's what I'm saying. Even people see it and they're like, wait a minute.
Well, and I was talking with some friends and they're also masculine presenting and they were like, I want my girlfriend, my feminine girlfriend, to propose to me. Coming back to the point, as we always eventually do.
We'll get there.
I think it's this subconscious idea, not saying that this is how people actually act, but I think there's this subconscious idea that people who are masculine don't need to be taken care of or feel as loved as someone who's feminine.
Yes.
And I think that's not true. I think it's a beautiful thing to both provide for each other. And I think that's what I've been so grateful within my relationship, is that I am still the masculine person in terms of like masculine presenting person within a relationship. But when it comes to love and being taken care of for and providing, it's more equal, I would say. And I think that's the beauty of it. And I even think in hetero relationships, my fiance and I were talking about this. I think also women should propose back to men. I think there should be this unison of agreement that you are both in this together. I think just to kind of like confirm that love, that you both want to do this together. I think men deserve to have
in
flowers.
In whatever form that looks like, because obviously, like, I think that can be anything. If you're a guy and you don't want, you know, your girlfriend to get down on one knee, I think it can look like a lot of different things.
Sure,
just to feel that love and response. But yeah, I hear you.
I'm just saying, I don't think that should be a weird thing.
Totally.
Because when my fiance proposed to me, it was not a weird thing, but people were genuinely very confused. And I think if a woman were to propose to a man, I don't think it should be as shocking as it is.
It's because
how gender plays within our society and within ourselves, there's this idea that men or masculine people can't receive that kind of love either.
It's the strong one.
It's not manly if like your lady proposed to you. Yeah, it is. Proposing is not gendered. Things don't need to be gendered. Everything is frickin' gendered.
Frickin' gendered. Frickin' rigidness. Fuck.
So how do we navigate the pressure of being masculine while still wanting to be cared for?
I love this personally because when I started dating my girlfriend, I actually said this to her, and she had dated men seriously before me. She had obviously been with women, but I guess that's not obvious, but she had been with women and only seriously, you know, had the relationships with men. And when we first got into a relationship, I could tell she was kind of falling into that pattern of what was heteronormative. And I had a conversation where I said, hey, like, I want to be cared for, even something as little as, like, I want, you know, massages. I want you to, like, rub my head, scratch my back, all of the little.
Oh, I fuck up a head scratch.
I fuck it
up. I understand dogs.
I fuck it up. I had to have that conversation with her. And so I think there is that pressure to fall in line with being the masculine one.
There's, like, roles in a relationship.
There are roles. And I think you have to internally figure out how you can bend it a little bit for yourself to what feels comfortable for yourself. And then if you are in a relationship, have a conversation with your partner, because my current partner, I think, was a little bit used to what it was like dating a man. Now, dating a woman, she even said, you're right. Like, I am so used to that. What do you want? How can I show you that
love?
All the things that you give me, I want to then give you in return. And it's taken time because I think that that's so normal, but she's so fucking good at that.
I have to say, the difference between going from a relationship with a man to a relationship with a woman, it is completely different. Yeah. And even my fiance has had to learn different dynamics within ourselves, but I think that's the beauty of it. I think even though we're masculine presenting women, I think the beauty of a lesbian relationship is that it feels a lot more free and comfortable to truly be able to just love each other the way that we want to without certain pressures. I mean, there's other pressures, but it's my favorite thing. And I love that she was also willing to do that for you and also wanting to do that, because that's obviously a big thing. I think it's just down to there shouldn't be gendered roles within a relationship placed on two women in a relationship, man and woman, non-binary, whatever the dynamic is within a relationship. I think it all comes down to a conversation that you two need to have with how you want to be loved, how you want to be supported. I don't think there should be expectations based off of how someone presents.
I agree. I also think, especially within the queer community, this need to be, if you are more mask presenting, not as vulnerable, not as soft, is complete and utter bullshit. If you feel as though you are androgynous, more masculine presenting, and you show that you're soft, show that you are a little baby, because we all are, that's okay. I think that we need to jump out of these boxes that we give ourselves in what is meant to be this super safe, open community, because sorry to say it, but we're falling into heteronormative standards that are put on us. The whole point in this queer community is to get the fuck away from that.
It's so funny how it still shows up.
It shows
in so many ways.
Yeah. If you followed what we said, proud of you, because I didn't.
Okay, rapid fire questions. We're still trying to figure it out. I think they're just going to be either or questions that are kind of pertaining to the theme of the episode.
And we might change it, but
we might change it.
And
if you have a suggestion, you let us know.
You ready? I'm gonna do it. 1, 2, 3, big or little spoon?
Big.
You're a big boy.
What about you?
Mainly big.
I love you first or wait?
Whenever you feel it, do it.
I say wait. I
say don't. I say never.
No. Sorry, I say wait until it feels right. Protective or vulnerable?
Vulnerable. I am protective.
I am protective too.
Yeah.
Crier or cold stare? Cold stare.
Cold stare.
I don't cry. If I cry, it's a tear.
If I cry, something is wrong.
And that's what I always say. If I cry, be concerned.
If I cry, call an ambulance.
Fix it or feel it?
Feel it.
Feel it, yeah.
Dude or babe?
Babe. Actually, baby.
I'm a babe.
If you have any questions about the topic that we have talked about today, or if you want us to go into something more, let us know and we will try to get to it.
And if you were confused, me too.
And if...
me fucking too.
Where can people find you?
Y'all can find me at call.me.england on Instagram and TikTok. What about you, buddy?
You can at Alaire. You could at me at Alaire Thomas on TikTok and Instagram. Alaire is spelled like Claire, but an A instead of a C.
Also, if you just want to find the podcast, it's Yap and Strap Podcast on Instagram and TikTok.
And then under my YouTube channel, at Alaire Thomas.
Yes, that. We haven't figured that one out yet.
We haven't figured that one out yet, but we eventually will, like anything.
So that's
we're just going
today's
with it.
Yap and Strap. Go get to strapping.
Pink.